When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit. All right, guys, here we are. Post-game show, Celtics-Nets. We'll get into the game a little bit. We've got a little bit of a developing situation after the game. We're going to talk about as well involving Kyrie Irving. So welcome in here, Bobby Manning, Jimmy Toscano.
Wow. People are firing in quickly here.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about for sure. One of the things we want to discuss, we're going to do this right now. We're going to put this up here just so you see it. We're not going to spend all our time talking about it. But this is video just sent to us from Josue Pavone from TD Garden. Involving Kyrie Irving leaving the court again. The Nets beat the Celtics here. This is starting to make the rounds a little bit on Twitter, so I'm going to go ahead and play it here. Okay, check it out here. Kyrie leaving.
Watch the tunnel.
Watch the tunnel. Okay, watch the tunnel.
There he comes.
And something comes down. Boom. Water bottle right there.
Guy in a jersey. Really pumped. He's really pumped.
Yep.
And he did a little pump fist pump. Yeah.
Really fist pump. Some guys really proud of themselves.
I hope it was worth it. I really do. Because he's never going to be allowed back in the arena.
But there it is.
His life.
So that's what happened. We'll play it again later as we're talking about it. But pretty freaking stupid and unfortunate.
Idiotic.
I mean, anyway. So now this is going to be a huge freaking thing.
That guy did nobody any favors.
So that guy's obviously going to be banned from TD Garden. That guy should be banned from Boston. Like, get the
ship him out.
Seriously.
Yeah.
F off. Okay.
Should be arrested.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Enough. Okay. Enough. My God. What a douche.
Yeah, I mean, just across basketball this week, what a disgrace.
Disgrace.
Yeah, like the peak of entitlement and just like the worst side of sports.
Who are you guys? Who let this guy in? Get the fuck out of here, man.
This notion that you have the entitlement to like do whatever you want or say whatever you want because you paid the ticket. Like, it's been there for a long time around sports, and the way it's just unleashed itself this week, like in every single arena, it feels like around the NBA. And now, you know, it's all the stuff we've talked about here with Boston's going to come back up. Again, after Kyrie said that, the Garden had to be holding itself to a high standard to avoid everything we've talked about. And now,
fist pump. Well, I'm looking at it again. Friggin' disgraceful.
So stupid. What was going? I'm gonna assume that guy must be wasted. I mean, what an idiot. I mean, how dumb do you have to be, really? Like, anyways, like you said, we're not gonna.
We're not spend the whole time. We're gonna talk about the game. We're gonna circle back to this. This just happened. We just got sent to us, so
we'll get some comments. I'm sure
we had to put it out
looks
there.
Like, looks like he got arrested. He just got put in handcuffs. I saw in a video.
I mean, good. I mean,
good.
That's assault, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So here, people are gonna be talking about. Let's get into the game. We'll circle back to this as we kind of see more stuff about it. I'll play the video later on. We get more people in here just to kind of show everybody what's going on. And that's what it is. But as far as the game itself, this one's a tough one to kind of get mad about.
Come on, John. That's soft.
You want me to get mad?
I mean, they gave up 150 points. I think it's okay to be a little disappointed by the defensive effort. Yes, I understand that you're talking about Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. But once again, Kyrie Irving embarrassed the Celtics, and that's what Kyrie Irving does. I mean, he always brings his A game against Boston, and those guys were on fire tonight from start to finish. They were just whipping the ball around, running the same plays. I mean, even the broadcasters are saying they've run the same play about five or six times now, and they keep scoring on it. So I don't know if this was if this is going to be a game where fans are coming at Brad again, probably.
So feels like we can guess what this is. It's going to be Brad in the second quarter lineup, which let's play it.
Very deep.
I'll play devil's advocate here. Okay.
I didn't love it either, John.
Yeah.
What's your devil's advocate?
What else are we supposed to like? There's only so many players on the team. Who is he going to go to on the bench?
It was a full bench lineup. It was Tatum and who was it? Semi, Grant, Pritchard. And who was the fifth?
Romeo.
Romeo played a lot tonight.
Yeah. Oh, well, Romeo's a starter on a night like this. So that's where John.
That's where
but
it was.
At the same time, they went very deep in terms of you had legitimately 10 guys playing.
Grant and Semi together is reason enough to lose your job.
Yeah, because it's the same thing we've talked about with Semi. They dipped them in there and then pulled them right back out for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And that was probably the adjustment Brad was talking about.
I guess. I just, you went deep. I mean, look, watching guys walk past, drive past Tristan Thompson and Jabari like they were, just standing still. I mean,
just a disaster quarter. I mean, we talked about this before we came on, John. It was a one-point game outside of the second quarter. The Celtics played incredibly well on this one, especially on the offensive side of the floor. Tatum was stupendous. So that rotation there legitimately could be honed in on terms of, like, why did you go to Semi in that spot? Because Semi in particular was a disaster there. Got scored on a couple times, lost the ball inside on a drive. But I don't think did anything of value.
I know. It's just you're watching guys literally, like I said, how many times did Tristan get caught on a switch there and literally someone just walked right by him,
Protection was really bad in that frame as well.
It was bad. Uncontested layup, uncontested layup, uncontested layup, uncontested layup. We lost Jimmy, so here he is back again.
Yeah, hard and uncomfortable out there, which is not what you want to see.
Sorry, Jimmy. We just lost you for a second.
I froze. Completely froze.
Anyway,
I'm struggling.
I think it's fair to be mildly frustrated with the defense. You got to consider the competition on the other side, but the level at which they let the Nets score on them was enormous. I mean, the Nets have never scored this many points in playoff history.
They were getting to the hoop with, in my opinion, way too much ease. I mean,
I'm going back to my hard foul thing. Like,
some of the best at getting to the hoop, but man, they were getting there pretty easily. Yeah. It felt like. Yeah, John, you're right. I mean, there was some healthy chippiness going on in the end of that game there. But prior to that, again, where is the, physicality down low? I mean, Durant is pretty much chirping all up and down the court. Like, he's like, middle finger in the air to the Celtics. I mean, again, Celtics kind of got punked on their own home court.
They let Kyrie coming in for a follow-up dunk.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 141 points
punked
in a playoff game. Absolutely punked. Punched, whatever word you want to use, embarrassed, and most likely Brooklyn will just finish again. Gentlemen sweep. I think a lot of us said the Celtics might be good for one win in this series, and credit to them. I thought they played with a ton of fight and energy in game three, but tonight you can't outscore the Nets. If you don't play defense, then you're gonna have a game like this. Yeah, you dropped 126 points, you still lost by 15 because you're not gonna ever just go offense toe-to-toe with the Nets. They're just way too talented.
So this is there's still a lot of stuff coming through on Twitter. It looks like before Kyrie walked off the court and that incident happened, he walked to half court and did
Celtics
like
thing.
A...
Yep, did, I'm looking at it right now.
Did what like do? A stomp on the leprechaun.
Walks out to half court. This doesn't justify getting Show shit it. Thrown at you. But he walks up. I'll pull it up. I'll get the video for us. He walks off. And stomps on the leprechaun, nice. Which, how about this? Yes, no one should throw anything at any player ever, but also F you, Kyrie, because,
That's disrespectful.
It's its own thing.
Immature.
Like, don't play the I'm nice. Don't play the it's let's just keep it to basketball and this and that and go in there and we're all friends and no hard feelings and then go friggin' do that. You know.
At the same time, I'm not gonna like pout about it because like
I'm not either. Just take it out on him next game. Yeah.
Right. It's you know a little gamesmanship. You know, it's a little jab. And again, it's not. if you don't like it,
it's garbage. You do that after the game. After the game,
I've never seen anything like that.
Not before the game and said a statement like your TO or something.
Yeah.
None of that stuff. After the game, when you just buried a team by 30 who's down three starters and you're on your way to Brooklyn and no one can challenge you on it, you go there and, you know, give me a break.
Well, it was after he dropped, 40 or whatever he scored tonight. I mean, the guy just dominated.
Joke.
Him, so.
All right, I'm playing it.
My issue is just
– You want to see it?
Yeah.
Want to see it? That's it. That's it. Little stomp. Little stompy.
Yeah. So, you don't get what it's all about. I mean, I guess it's two straight
guy.
Games.
He's
I guess it's two
it.
Straight games of booze and it's just up, got you back. I mean, what can you say? I mean, the Celtics came out and just got destroyed in this one, so there's not much you can say. But like you said, John, after the fact, rather than before, coming in and trying to make that statement or something. That's especially when like he set up the battle with the fans there and everything like that. Like
his statement was what he just did to the Celtics. He just embarrassed them once again. I'm not talking about after the game. I'm talking about the performance that he just put on. That's the statement he made during the game.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, again, they're in all the position of power because they just murdered you. Like, you know what? You want to prevent him from stomping on the logo? Beat him. Beat them. Don't let him drop 141 points on you at home.
But it's not like
with the fans back.
But it's not like the TO thing, as John compares it to, where, like, didn't some guy from the other team come through and deck
literally
him? Literally
trucked him while he was there.
Yeah.
The Celtics couldn't do that. Oh, you know what could stop him.
Now he gets to go home. And now, you know, obviously. Like,
and I guess that's, again, it doesn't excuse what the fan did. But did the fan, like, see that and be like, oh, F this guy? Like,
who knows? Again, I'm not going to sit here and.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that either. But.
Yeah, what also.
I don't think the fan was really thinking about much.
No, but it's, you know, like I said, this can be mutually excused. You guys want to see? Some people want to see it again. I'll play it one more time.
Yeah, let's see it because it kind of skips. I think
it skipped a little bit.
Give me a second. I'll load it up one more time, and so you guys will see it here. And again, this is cell phone video, so it's not going to be ideal. Just give me a second. I'll play.
Who took
it
this? Is Josue again on Josue?
No, this was someone
TMZ?
Else. Here we go. I'm putting it up here, leaving our mics on. We can talk over it. Sorry. That's it. And again,
we'll
skips
stomp right
a little,
on the head. Right on the head.
That's it. He walks over and he gives a little boop, and then he takes off.
Yeah, a little subtle.
I don't know. Is that something that he does after games? Goes and steps at half court. I have no idea. Probably.
I don't know. We're gonna find out. It has something to do with his Native American. I'm just kidding. I honestly don't know. Like, I really don't know. But it's more kicks. It's just Kyrie going in there and just doing what he does.
No,
it's
but like he's the king of the jabs. He's the king of the little jabs. Like he knows how to get under your skin.
Yeah, it's not a
you,
ton.
But people. He knows how to get under Celtics fans' skins clearly. But I thought the Celtics fan. I mean, aside from that idiot, I thought that the fans were pretty loud. I mean, I thought they were. You know,
they could certainly hear
those boos and.
The Celtics came out and won that first quarter in convincing fashion. It was a great performance all around. And I know you were blown away by Romeo's start, John, and an overall solid performance from him.
The defense,
that's
obviously why he started. You wanted guys to be able to man up there, and he did. And he did a decent job there on Harden. That was the most you could hope for. You know, there's something there, man. You know, like – I still don't think it's a lost cause. There's enough there. He just needs refining.
I thought he was the best role guy on the team by far tonight. When
he
Tatum was getting doubled.
I thought Nesmith was awesome too.
He came in late.
Yeah.
Late, that's what I mean. Late. Yeah.
Langford came in for real minutes instead of Tone. And even through that second quarter, when it was still relatively close before it really went off the rails there, when Tatum was getting doubled as we expected. That was an easy adjustment the Nets were going to make. Double him every time or close the lane on him. Weak side, I thought he was able to hit some shots. And more importantly, I thought he just didn't settle in those spots. He would get into the lane and draw some free throws. Overall, at the end of the day, he finishes 2-6. Not great, but I saw a few flashes there. In
again,
the first
he needs
half.
Skill refinement, okay? Yeah. He's got a. He literally needs just to practice basketball things, you know, like just
and that's what you lose
jump
when you're
shot
injured.
jump shot you're injured and you're not in there all the time. A thousand jumpers, a thousand threes, you know, get his body right, come in phenomenal NBA shape, like play non-stop basketball, come in 1,000%. There's something there.
Is he a fit though in terms of alongside Tatum, alongside Brown, alongside
he is because he doesn't demand the ball.
I mean, he's a 3-and-D guy, right? I mean,
that's my question.
He's
though,
not
the three.
Eventually,
is the three
gonna
there?
Get
there.
I mean, is
he's
that the goal? Though, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's yes. what you're hoping. So,
I think that's what he's
going
to have to be. Yeah, and then what I mentioned on Locker Room after Game 3, you would like to see a little bit of playmaking and passing on top of that because that's what they need—the secondary playmaking.
I want to see the slashing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I see right now in terms of like what could be a strength for him, cutting and slashing and just a swiftness toward the basket. I think he flashes that routinely. And even
can
on the
he
shooting.
Can he just run the baseline like Avery did on some back cuts a little
bit?
This
is, remember we compared him to Bradley earlier this year?
We compared Nesmith a little to Bradley.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I think you could kind of combine that where he could do that, just constantly moving, running the baseline there, being able to finish in around the rim, recognizing some matchups, taking some guys off the dribble. I was saying the mid-range. I think he's got to be able to get by people and get those little pull-ups and those stops and get himself to the rim. And then just shoot respectably, 36-37% from you know, on corner threes, you're fine. You know, I mean, that's enough to create space and to work here. But, you know, I feel like we're ducking an obvious, you know.
Do you want to continue the John Was Right tour? Is that where
I don't want to take a victory lap over it.
That's where you're going with this.
I'm not. But look, what happened tonight? They missed Rob. We knew they were going to miss Rob. And they were without Kemba. So
they didn't miss Kemba, but he's out.
Okay, so Kemba tonight is out with this bone bruise situation. And so right when he said bone bruise, I was like, huh, bone bruise is one of those like fake injuries, okay? Like
for soreness, basically.
Something hurts, right?
Yeah.
It's a bone bruise. Soreness, okay? Soreness
contusion.
In that left knee, whatever you want to call it. And so
it's bad. Very, very bad news.
He played. This was really bad because look, it would have been better if they made it through the whole year and Kemba didn't have any starts and stops with that knee. You're two games away from the end of the season. If you're ever talking about trading this guy, okay, this just completely blew up. But listen to Brad stutter through this answer on how. Okay, so the question with Kemba was, an injury, a bone bruise, usually a contact injury. Nobody saw. We've never seen video of it. We have no idea when it occurred, right? Nobody's like, oh, he banged his knee there, right? He just started feeling sore, and they called it a bone bruise. And then he played, and he felt way more sore. And here's Brad asking, just listen to him kind of hem and haw here, talking about the injury.
Hey, Brad, just back in Kemba for him. When did he actually injure the knee?
There was a moment, I don't know what the exact moment was, but he said he felt it in game two. Had 3 days off in between game two and game three, but was really sore. You know, he has his ankle knee work that he does in between each day and each game. And then, you know, the bone bruise on top of that. And then was more sore after Friday's game. Than he was even before that, you know, felt good enough to play. Didn't feel very good yesterday. Was hoping that would dissipate today and didn't feel much better this morning.
Putting on his dancing shoes.
There was a moment where he felt it.
This sucks because this is what you're avoiding. This is what you tried to avoid all year, and You're not playing back-to-backs in the playoffs. So it's like all of us – now it's like, okay, maybe – and, John, the other thing you talked about was like this pain, he's acting like it's kind of been a thing this season.
The follow-up was, so is it this, you know? Because this was funny. The press conference starts with, you know, someone asks for injury updates. Then you get like a, yo, isn't it going to be awesome to have a crowd question? And then Murphy's like, yeah, wait a second.
Yeah.
About this Kemba thing. When did he get hurt? You know? And he's like,
Right.
So then the follow-up to that, and I didn't play it because it was too long and I didn't want to put everybody to sleep. The follow-up was, so was it the injury or the soreness? And he's like, a little bit of both.
Right.
So again, Brad's kind of revealing that soreness in and around the knee is a thing they've been managing as part of his regular management here, and that that knee situation coupled with this bone bruise
flare up and this that and the other
flare
thing.
Up that something has something. So the disheartening thing here is, you know, we talked about this whole season being clean, and will he come? One, is he tradable in the offseason? Two, does he come back next year and start playing back-to-backs? Does he ramp up? Is he past this, you know? Like, is he going to spend the rest of his career not playing back-to-backs in 40 and 50 games a year? You know, that's not great. What do you do now?
I think they've never been able to do less than today. Because, like you said, I mean, when you have something like this come up at the end of the season, after what I think we all say, it was a successful season health wise for Kemba Walker, even though he didn't play, but like there weren't any of these. This never happened all season, so that's why you're thinking, well, maybe they can get a team to bite on some level. But now, I can't imagine there's one team that would even pick up the phone if Danny Ainge brought up the name Kemba Walker. I don't know why they would. I mean, you have no idea what to expect finishing out the rest of the season. You don't know what's going to happen in the off season, but this seems like something. And John, credit to John. I mean, he was kind of like his biggest fear.
I'm not taking a victory lap.
No, you're not, but it does seem like something that is going to stick around. It's going to linger, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. If that does end up happening, you end up in a position where you have to pay a premium to dump him somewhere.
You have to pay to get rid of him. That was always my fear, is like, you know, degenerative means what the dictionary says it means.
And you need to have a buyer.
If that's truly what he has, degenerative doesn't get better. So I didn't think he took a magic pill and all of a sudden was like, oh, I'm good. But you could theoretically, the hope was you manage for at least the length of his contract, you know, like you manage it enough where you're getting a useful version of him. But a flare up after a 42 game regular season and a couple of games in the playoffs is crap.
Not a back,
you know, that's basically halfway through a regular season. The knee flares up again. That's terrible. You know?
Yeah, this postseason series was a disaster from his end because we saw even from the very beginning, he wasn't able to impact in any way. He became a detriment in the series. And to some degree, John, you're right. Was it like, who knows when it happened or when it flared up? Was it a practice? Was it in game two? Because he appeared on the injury report after game two going into game three, played through game three. And the question we asked late in that game is, if you know he's not feeling great, you see him struggling immensely, why is he out there late in that game? Because you almost lost game three because of him too at that point. And like, if this is where it's headed, you do have to start to consider that dump scenario. I don't know if there'll be a buyer. You might have to get creative with it.
You know, that's the hard part. Is you got to get the salaries, get to work. I mean, you got to find a team willing to, you know, every buyer.
But again, they went eight and three without him at the beginning of the year. It's not this. I know once he came back, it felt like they couldn't get a win when he was gone. But the way they had everything set up at the beginning of the season, they were in a good place without him. And it felt like just the imbalance of him moving out, him moving in, getting him his rhythm, trying to play different styles that suited him or suited other guys, and bouncing back and forth between those things. That's what started to instill the instability of the season. And now the end of the season is becoming the same exact story. It's like, oh, geez, our rotation was built around Kemba for the last 2-3 months, and now we're completely starting over and trying Parker and trying Romeo and trying Semi again. Like, it's just this instability due to his lack of reliability in terms of being out there.
Yeah.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
Parker was solid.
today. Yeah. All right. Let's let's table the Kemba stuff. We'll bring in Joe Sway from the Garden. Joe Sway was there. Joe Sway shot the video there, right? Of
Joe?
Water bottle situation.
Yes, he did. He sure did.
He sure did. So, Joe Sway, I'll let you talk through it because you were there. You were just happened to be shooting them leaving the court, and you're like, "Oh, let me grab this."
Yeah,
you know.
That happened, or did you see him touch the center court and was like, no. "Oh, shit, might pop off."
I wanted to see if the buddy buddy moment would happen, right? You know, let's see if he goes to dap up anybody, you know, at the end of a win. And two things I recorded that I didn't expect him to do. Yeah, he ran out there, stomped on the logo, which I didn't think much of it until I when you record, you take a step back, like, wait, did he just do that? And I just kind of kept rolling from there because I wanted to see, obviously, making his way to the tunnel. There were a group of fans waiting for him. Then came the bottle, I guess, is what's being reported. At the time, I couldn't exactly make out what it was, if it was a beer or not, but obviously it was something that came towards his direction. And he sort of kept it moving. Then he came right back out of the tunnel, looked up, and security was already all over it. That continued for quite some time. The perpetrator was arrested, and as of right now, there's still security still in a half circle now, just discussing everything that happened.
All right, cool. I'm putting it up, Joe Sway. So here was the video. This is just the water bottle portion, and there's Kyrie. You know,
he's not hit.
Here coming, it's coming. Bam! Good aim. I mean, that's not a good thing, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and then the guy's all pumped up and fist pumping. Yeah.
And then I think he was like,
way to point yourself out there, buddy.
Yeah, that was just.
Yeah.
He didn't have any enthusiasm when they took him out in the cuffs. But,
yeah. Did that guy know,
a basketball jersey, right?
Yeah, he had a uni on. I don't know which jersey.
It looked like a Nets.
It was a Garnett jersey, number 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see that?
No, there was a close up of him. There was a close up of him getting arrested later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking
he was just wearing a
basketball
jersey without like anything underneath it, which I always thought is just a weird move.
Yeah,
he was just wearing the jersey.
I just did he not hear the last 3 to 4 days of dialogue around the series and the city and all that stuff? It's just like ambivalence. Like I can't even fathom it.
Yeah, it's another point for Kyrie. I hate to say it, guys. I mean, this is exactly what he was talking about. And, you know, after
we were all worried this was going to happen. It was like, will someone in Boston double down on this just because of the give and take there and the conversation around it? And just like, oh, we're going to come down even harder on him. Game 3 was great. And I think Kyrie even said after the game, like, not like credit to the fans, but like, we kept to the basketball. It was all good. And now it's back to square one, which I guess he was right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that happened.
Talking about the fan.
Get into the rest of the game. What do we see?
You know, that second half, guys. I mean, the third quarter when Kevin Durant, it was just too much for these guys. I think, you know, defensively and on the offense. You know, you saw them try to find their rhythm, but they just couldn't do it. And as for the fans, I mean, when you got the fans towards the tail end of the national anthem singing verbatim, you just sort of knew what sort of vibes was going to be here. And that bode well for the Celtics in the sense of sticking around. You know, these guys, this fan base stuck around to the end. But in terms of the basketball game itself, man, I just think the Celtics were just overmatched. I mean, they tried their best to compete and stick around. But, you know, even Evan Fournier, I thought, was someone that could easily tack on 20 in this one. But he had to fight for that 16 points. You know, same went for Marcus Smart. And second quarter, when they started double teaming Tatum, I thought that was interesting because the Brooklyn Nets were able to create a little bit of space there heading into halftime. And that momentum, I think, just really took it to the Celtics because they almost tacked on 70 points. You know, it was like game 2 vibes all over again, except for this time, no Kemba Walker, at least, and no, of course, no Jaylen Brown. I mean, I just kept looking across the bench. I'm like, where's the offense going to come from? You know, at least Peyton Pritchard got a little bit of extended run there. I thought he did a decent job defending Kyrie Irving. But again, where was the offense going to come from? You know, 3 guys on the other team is combining for over 100 points. Just too much.
So, Joe Sway, what do you – I just think this is so crazy when you think of how this game went, that it was a 101-100 game outside of that second quarter. Like, this game was close. The Celtics played great, but that second quarter just became such a disaster. It spiraled out of control in a way that made it a blowout. Like, what happened there?
I mean, when Kyrie Irving really got going, I just – you know, well, two things happened, right? Kyrie Irving got going, and Brooklyn Nets started to double-team Tatum. And I know in most or other games throughout the course of regular season, we've seen when that happens that he's able to turn to other guys to step up. But this time it just wasn't the case. You know, Evan Fournier, one of the first times, he managed to put a wild three-point play together, which I thought was like, okay, you'll take that. Romeo Langford hit one as well from those same situation where he gets doubled and he just tries to find the open guy. But I mean, that's just not the two guys you want to have when you're getting doubled. And again, if you don't have another guy out there who's going to put up 20 plus points, I mean, if you're Brooklyn, you have to double Tatum. Why not? And even though Tatum managed to still score 40 in this one, I mean, again, that second quarter, and it was unfortunate too, because historically for that first quarter from with the Celtics dipping the free throw line and the 3-point line, like, I think it was Jared Weiss who put it, only the second time in Celtics playoff history that they put together a quarter like that, where they were scoring double digits and free throws and that efficient from behind the three. So, you know, it was sort of that perfect quarter, and they just couldn't come anywhere close to putting together a quarter like that, like the first.
You can't outscore the Nets. Like I said earlier on the show, Joe Sway.
Kyrie doesn't go off in that second quarter, and I know you can say the what ifs a bunch about it. A bunch of what ifs, but I mean, this team fought, man. Celtics fought, especially in that first half, I thought.
They fought, but they gave up about 100 uncontested layups, you know?
Exactly. It was way too easy.
Well, part of that's personnel.
I thought that was more in the second half, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that second quarter, like, every Thompson got caught on a switch like four times and just somebody walked by him. And then Fournier one-on-one on Harden got friggin' toasted a couple of times. Jabari once or twice. The first time Jabari popped out on Durant's like, yeah, straight line dunk. You know, like, there was literally at second quarter, I think there were like eight friggin' layups in the half court, you know?
Well, that's what we said. Brad went really deep into the bench in that second
quarter.
That
is crazy how easy that was for them. Crazy.
Yeah.
You saw some Grant that quarter.
But that's, to me, is like, you know, he tried a little zone, the constant switching, whatever it was.
Brad said something interesting. I think Jimmy said it. We tried making adjustments, and the adjustments were worse. Like, what does that say? Like, the fact that the original game plan seemed to work well. And I know you got to get in your rotations a little bit, and these guys can't play 48 minutes, and that's ultimately where you saw the difference between these two teams. But it felt like it was, like you just said, John, a guessing game to some degree. What can we get from Semi here? What can we get from Parker in the spot? And I really think they got away from Pritchard a little bit too much again. This was an opportunity where you just have to give him a little bit of free rein. Let him shoot those uncontested jumpers. Let him be aggressive out there and make some mistakes, because at the end of the day, you'd rather have him and his shot out there than Semi and, you know, Parker and all that stuff. Like, that refusal, we said it yet after game three. The fact that you'll go double big and not go triple guard is just stunning.
It's like, bizarre.
It's what you have right
now. The way the league is going, to insist that double big was a good idea for 20 games and not play a three-guard lineup is bananas. It's just banana land, you know?
Yeah.
And not true. Only double big, double, like, true big, you know? Like, not like double big, like one of them's like a faux big, yeah, who's really a seven-footer who's a guard in a seven-footer's body.
You played tonight,
guys who were like, you know.
Brad played Grant and Thompson together for a large stretch of that middle portion of the game again. So that like, desire to have size out there, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you don't have the wings at this point because of Brown being down, and you don't have the bigs when Rob's down. So you have to lean on your guard depth a little bit, and that is something you actually have right now. Not great rotations. I think Brad gets somewhat of a pass just because of how decimated the roster is right now. But, again, it was a game that felt like it could have been competitive that just got completely thrown off by one rotation, seemingly.
What's amazing, though, despite that, Bobby, they were still in it, actually. Like, yes, they were only down 13 at the half after that dismal second quarter, and shooting 35%. The Nets shot 60%. Their big three had 59 points between them. Tatum and Fournier each went 3 of 10 from the field in that half, and they were only down 13. Like, that wasn't bad, but then again, bang, 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 third quarter onslaught, like Joe Sway said, 26 points and done. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even that run too, where I was like, what is this lineup you put together, you know, to open the second quarter? They kind of survived that, right?
Summer league. It felt like a summer league lineup.
It did, and it wasn't going to shock me if they came out of the timeout and it was the same lineup. But fortunately, you know, Brad switched things up. But, yeah, you know, they survived that. But, obviously, he's got to get extra creative here. You know, he's trying his best. And I don't know if I could fault Brad for this one, but that was the only part of the game when I was just like, whoa.
It's hard to fault any. When you come into a game without Kemba, Rob, and Brown.
Man.
This is probably the best you could have expected. And you can second guess every little thing, but at the end of the day, that second quarter was really all about Durant, Harden, and Irving spotting up over guys again and again and hitting everything, which a lot of those times I didn't even feel like it was bad defense. Parker a couple of times, hands in the face, staying right with guys. I thought Grant did some good things through that stretch defensively, and they just shoot over everybody and score at will.
Still surprised they put up 126, honestly, guys, in all seriousness. I mean, 126 without Kemba and, you know.
The offense was really good.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's just too bad because this is, you know, it's the Brooklyn Nets, man. It's just a tough team for them to go up against. And they were clearly overmatched. And, you know, I just think about what Brad said about those, you know, scoring 110. And once Brooklyn was flirting with 70 or whatever, that was over 70 at the half, I was just like, unless they can limit these guys to 20 in the third quarter, which I really don't think was possible. I didn't think it was possible at the time. I was like, I just don't see how they're going to be able to keep up. Like, the pace that Brooklyn Nets were scoring at was just they were off to the races, and Celtics was just trying to keep up. They're doing their best.
No, you were right about the Nets, Joe Sway. It was when that engine got revving again and you lost the benefit of the doubt of a good Irving game, and they started double-teaming Tatum a little bit more so he couldn't get to 50. If he gets to 50 in this one, which he probably could have if it wasn't for a bunch of doubles and traps in the lane, this is probably a much closer game. And instead, you had a bunch of off-ball misses by the Celtics role guys, which I thought Tatum was fantastic in this one. Like, probably just as good as last game. And he got shown different looks defensively, and that's what accounted for the 10-point. I thought the officiating was just brutal. Like, getting away with shoving him off his ground and – you know, Thompson gets knocked to the floor on another play, and Evan Fournier just gets completely bumped to the ground on another Harden drive in the lane. Last two games have been frustrating officiating-wise.
Tatum gets called for a tech. And
ridiculous.
Like, for nothing. And, yes, he complains, and, yes, he should stop, and I don't think he's doing a good job with the refs. But hey, Durant –
Durant's doing the little stuff with Smart.
All friggin' game. Durant literally talked to the refs tonight, like, more than he played. Like, he was in their ear all friggin' night, complaining, chirping. Give me a break with that. That was ridiculous.
Frustrating.
Yeah, hey, Joe Sway, speaking of, we were talking about Durant earlier, it looked like he was getting pretty chippy with the with everybody on the Celtics. I mean, he was in their ears, and I think Marcus Smart literally had to, like, tell him to go away.
He got into it with Thompson a bit, and Thompson was just like, "Yeah, man, don't even try it. I'm not buying the bait." And yeah, I think the fans. I think the fans set the tone, man. I don't know why. It just really cracked me up when he came out here to shoot around. And I've seen Durant quite, you know, when he was playing with the Warriors, even before that. Like, he has this specific routine. He gets his threes up, and the fans are just not letting him just have any peace, man. I thought that just struck a chord with him, and I think he just kept that energy all night long. I don't know if you saw the video, Jimmy, but it was just like, every time he break, they booed. I mean, they cheered, and they were just like, I forget the chant exactly. It was just like, "We hate KD." I think that was it. "We hate KD." Every throughout the entire warm up, this was like probably like a 5-6 minute thing. I didn't see
that. That's funny.
Well, yeah, this is before he goes out there by himself, and then every miss they cheered, and every make they booed, and then he on his way out they booed him right out the tunnel. And I was just like, okay, it's gonna be one of those nights.
That's awesome, but that sometimes that, you know, can have an adverse effect than what you want, because, you know,
exactly. Sometimes you wake the beast.
These guys love being the bad guys, man. I mean, they like they always say, like, they don't boo nobody. You know, some guys they love being in that hostile environment, and I'm sure probably, you know, one of those things where, you know, obviously they haven't been able to feel that much this season at all, and this probably snapped them back to like, oh yeah, here we like, let's do this, like, you know, playoff game, and like going into the Lions' den, and you know. And they, like I said, they took a dump all over you today. The Nets just did their thing. And now they're just going to probably finish it off in Brooklyn.
I do think the one thing you take out of this and as a positive from the Celtics is the way Tatum responded as a facilitator. I thought he got guys quality looks. I thought he was able to still focus on scoring at a high rate while not running into those traps and turning the ball over and doing those sorts of things.
He did all he could do.
Yeah, and this is why I thought the series could still be competitive from that standpoint. Like, I thought the Nets defense would be completely unbalanced and be vulnerable to attacks and things of the like. But once you got deeper and deeper into the Celtics rotation, you just see how devastating that can be for them.
So I want to move to this then, because I don't disagree. Okay, I want to move to Fournier. I've had a lot of people asking about this, and we've talked about it. But, okay, yes, fine, as a fifth option, absolutely has value here. Do you pay a fifth option on your team $20 million this offseason because you can't find anything better? Like, again, it just seems like, are we really doing this thing? Like, when you watch Evan Fournier, does he look like a guy who can command? Like I said, he's a nice piece when he's the fourth guy or the fifth guy. How many people's fourth guys are maybe I'm wrong. You look up and down rosters, and maybe that's just the going rate. But how many people's fourth or fifth offensive option is making $20+ million a year?
Yeah, but John, I think for the Celtics, in this case, he's going to be your third option, right? I mean, let's be real.
Well, if Kemba's toast.
Even if he's not toast, I mean, is Kemba still a 20-point scorer? Is he still a third option on this team, a third scoring option?
He looked like it.
Do we see him reduced to a smaller role? I'm not saying maybe he comes off the bench or not, but
I think, and I've been saying it, but that's fine. You need somebody to replace him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just think either way, I don't know if that third spot is secured by Kemba, you know? And I think if you're the Celtics, you go into the negotiation table and you say, listen, man, if we're bringing you on, you're that guy. I think you have to use that to sort of cater to what Fournier wants to be at this stage of his career. You know, a third piece on a team that's competing in the East and, you know, constantly making the playoffs, you know, maybe that sways him from other deals that he's going to have to turn
down. Look at the best teams in basketball, though. And try to list off their third options.
Later, man. No, Chris Grenham.
List their third options.
Started staring at me. I thought Chris Grenham. I thought he was security. Someone just staring at me. I felt it, and I looked over.
Yeah. Again,
Fournier.
List the best teams in basketball, and then list their third options, and you tell me if Fournier stacks up.
No, but that's not how you're managing your roster. Because at the end of the day,
trying to be honest here. Yeah.
It's going to be another situation if you lose him where you're relying on Grant and Romeo and Nesmith and these guys. And again, I thought you saw some positive things from those guys, but what we've been saying all year is ideally you want to start swapping in talent at the bottom of the roster and replacing some guys that you think stagnated a bit here. In terms of Fournier, like the complete package here, I know it's been frustrating that he has struggled in the series, and that still goes into that notion through his career now that he's been one of the worst playoff guys statistically that you see in this league. But at the same time, we've seen through the whole package here that he's a great fit on this team, an underrated defender to some degree, and an excellent off-ball shooter, which is exactly what they need right now. So, yeah, the price is high, but the price is high right now, too. So they paid a premium on them this year. I don't think it costs you anything in terms of other parts of the roster to make that deal. And as we know, the only two options if you let him go is just carry that cap space forward 2 years from now or a TPE.
Bobby, so no one can play defense on James Harden. So that's not a good barometer. But can he play defense? You seem to think he can, and I'm not sure.
I've seen him fill in passing lanes. He obviously rotates and has size and can guard multiple positions. I think he has good hands. I don't think he's a lockdown guy by any means, but I think he's just a solid defender at that position and better than I expected. So all these things just come together to me, and I think he's a really good fit for this team. I mean, what's the alternative here? You just carry that. You could carry that space 2 years from now. I mean, I think what you focus on a lot, John, is that bigger picture. And you say this all the time, like 5 years from now, what do you look like? And making some decisions that have short-term consequences, like possibly missing the playoffs this year, letting him go and having that cap space later, having a TPE again, those are things that would really hurt you now. and just cause, I think, an uproar in the next season, keep things pretty tense in the fan base and all that stuff. But it could lead to better things down the line. That's Kemba dumping question too. Like, this team's going to have to decide, do you want to compete next year, or do you want to take another step back next year?
Again,
and set yourself up for the next year after that.
I would rather compete next year with the kids and the guys you have than throw more bad money after bad money.
Well, the other thing
I would rather give Nesmith and Romeo a full year of 25 minutes a game, 20 something minutes a game off the bench, and see what you have in them, than throw another 20 something million at Fournier and have that as Kemba. I take it back. I'm not certain I want to throw that at Fournier. I'm not certain I do.
Well, the problem there is we're not certain these young guys
are going to become anything. We're not certain the kids are going to be great either.
Like, is it worth investing to that degree?
But you're only going to get to
that. I like the sure thing.
You're going to get to that level if those guys get good. You're not going to get to that level because you locked down Evan Fournier for probably more money than he was worth to be your fourth or fifth option. Like, and if he is your third best player, you're not a finals team, most likely. You're not. Mm-hmm. So that's the reality is, if you need him so bad, you probably don't. You're probably not going anywhere. That's the downside. So that's how I look at it is he might make them better, but exactly that is if
what's
it's
better?
That bad that you need him, right? What's better and how much better?
Well, there'll be a competitive market for him this offseason. As I look at the free agent list more and more, he is one of the bigger names out there. I don't know how big teams are going to be throwing money around given the cap situation.
I saw rankings recently where he was like right around like the 20th ranked free agent.
He's not even close to a big ticket free agent. Like, that's the thing is, we threw 20 million out there. He might be a 3-30 guy, and in which case you have a different story. Like, he might be a
So
I think the money, like, I think you've still got Daniel Tice as an $18 million player in your head. And that,
well,
and
no, in this case, it's what he's making
now. And that's your scale. So if he's 18, Smart is 22, 40 is 28, you know, like, but it might not be that. Like I said, the worst thing you could do in roster management is overpay for middle class. Fournier is a classic middle class player and one who's aging, you know, like, he is definitely,
well, we know they're not going to do it.
Definitely not a guy people throw a lot of money at. That is the worst business.
He's a deaf guy.
Yes.
He would make a really good team into a contender because you need those depth guys. But the Celtics aren't good enough with, like you said, the Celtics aren't good enough with him being like part of the, you know, mainstay. Like, if he's a top three guy on the team or whatever, like, that's not good enough. So, yes, he does help you, and I think there will be a lot of teams interested in him for the right price. I think if you're talking 20 million for him, that's too high. I think 10's probably maybe somewhere in the middle.
I think this is honest.
Exactly.
345 seems closer to right. Yeah,
10's not realistic. Again, it comes down to three things. Where does he want to be? Which I think is a question we have to seriously consider, given how this has gone with him here. Does he like it here? Does he just want to go somewhere else because it's a better situation for him? Just because of how like up and down and tumultuous his team was this year. From the sound of it, he likes it, but you never really know from that. It never feels like a guy who's making, 17 now at this point is going to go down to 10 or you know, even below it. He's going to be shooting for more on another step up on the contract after a pretty good year here. And then you have that question of where the Celtics land on it. Are they going to come at it from a perspective of, all right, we invested the TP on this guy. We kind of have to invest on him no matter the cost here because it's kind of a dead sunk cost back to Hayward that you really don't want to come out of that empty. Because then at that point, it's 4 seconds, Gordon Hayward for nothing. Another TP, a smaller TP at that point. Yeah. You can't do a sign and trade for all the reasons we've listed. Like, they kind of just have to pay him at least what he's making right now,
which sucks because again, it's like
it doesn't suck though. Like, he's a good player.
He's good, but I think he would help a better team. I think he belongs on a better team.
Again, is there a better alternative for the Celtics here?
Again, so you see what I'm saying?
Nesmith, I think
might not be, but I think you're better off.
You really like Nesmith?
I don't really like him. I don't really like Nesmith or Romeo to the point that you're their sure things.
I do.
Yeah, he's just intrigued by them.
But
right?
I honestly think, like, if the team's going to get to the next level, it's going to be because Rob has a full healthy year. adds a little muscle, is a more complete player next year, and really becomes a player who's like, he's legit your third best player, and it's not even close, and he's in the all-star conversation. And then these guys start to fill the lanes coming up with a little bit of promise, a second year in a full offseason, where those are the teams you look at and be like, whoa, they got a couple good young guys here. I don't know if they're that, but I just don't think – I think Evan Fournier is a Band-Aid. I think if you get him for the right price, that's great. I think if there's a bidding war, you have to consider whether or not you want to have Fournier in the books for 20-plus and Kemba for another 35, two aging sort of guys that you're actually hoping to play out of your rotation, not to continue to give minutes to, you know? You want to try to move past these guys. And,
I think a good team will be interested in signing Evan Fournier. And if it's the right team, feels okay, like I like what this role is. I think this team is a – you know, a contender, but like, we don't even know if he wants to come back to Boston. He might get a similar offer from a better team, you know, and or I don't know if he's looking for, you know, a role, or if he's looking for, you know, wins or championships. I don't know where he's really at, but again, I think it's only going to take one or two teams to put that price up there.
Yeah, it might. I want to get back to Kyrie briefly, and again, recapping here the incident. Somebody threw a water bottle at Kyrie.
I'm hearing there's multiple perpetrators now. I'm hearing the guy who supposedly threw it wasn't the one that walked out of here in cuffs.
Oh, okay, that makes sense with the whole jersey thing. Man,
they got the wrong guy.
He had an away jersey. Looked like
I arrested the wrong guy.
I mean, could be part of the same crew. I don't know how it works if you're associated with that person, but it looked like the investigation continues as to who actually threw it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do two things. We're gonna play. I'm gonna play the video one more time for everybody in case you haven't seen it. You probably have by now. We also have Kyrie comments. So again, here's the video. We'll leave our mics up here. Joe Sway's shooting it there at the Garden.
They might need Joe Sway's video for evidence here.
They might.
It's very
and
clear.
Boom! Who there it goes.
There might be a subpoena. It might be a subpoena for Joe Sway. Yeah.
You'll see Joe Sway in court.
Joe Sway will take a stand here.
Will you be a witness, Joe Sway?
I mean, it's very obvious who threw it. So I haven't seen a picture of who they arrested.
It's pretty obvious.
One guy got arrested for heckling, for enticing the other guy to do it.
Yeah. So these guys talked about it. Here's Kyrie talking about it afterwards too.
Could you just walk us through what happened? I mean, did the fan yell at you? Did the bottle hit you? What happened?
It doesn't matter, honestly, Malika. It's just these actions, like I said, are historically relative. You know, when you think about just where we've come as a sport, you know, it used to happen back in the day. A lot of older players went through it. And any great person, great entertainer, performer understands that when you're achieving something bigger than yourself, you know, you're going to have a lot of adversity, animosity, and you just got to figure out a way to deal with it. So tonight, I think we collectively dealt with it. You know, anything could have happened with that water bottle being thrown at me, but you know, my brothers were surrounded around me. I had people in the crowd. So just trying to get home to my wife and my kids.
Oh, Kyrie got hitters, huh? Okay. I had people in the crowd. didn't it sound like that? It sounded like you say, I got people.
I don't know. Yeah.
I got protection. I got my people.
So
no, this, I think what he says is right. Like this, yeah, we keep seeing this over and over again through sports over the years, and it's so puzzling. Sure. Like you just keep having these questions asked of why people would do this, and it's very evident. It's just an entitlement thing. Like people go into the crowd and feel like they can do whatever they want and act however they want. And to some degree, like if we go back to the Malice at the Palace thing, all the focus was on the players in that sense. But
no,
with a giant thing of cup of ice falling on a guy. Like this is just. In the real world, if you do this thing, you're getting punched out. Like you're getting getting confronted, and the players aren't allowed to confront people, which is where that power imbalance comes in.
Here's another clip. Here's another Kyrie clip here. Hold on.
It's unfortunate, you know, that sports has come to a lot of this, you know, kind of crossroads where you're seeing a lot of old ways come up. It's been part of that. It's been that way in history in terms of entertainment performers and sports for a long period of time of just underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo.
So again, this idea that you can do whatever, whenever,
just because you paid it to
whomever, because you paid is
it's absurd.
Go back to Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart getting into it with a fan at Oklahoma State before the Celtics drafted him. Same bullshit. The guy thinks he can get up in his face and say whatever the hell he wants.
Russell Westbrook in Utah all those years ago. Like, we just see it again and again.
Utah.
Right. Jeez. So anyway, that's where we're at with it. And this story is going to continue to have legs.
What do you guys think about the logo part, though?
Again, nobody asked him about that. And that's the thing is the problem is if you ask it.
I thought Kyrie was above that, you know.
You ask him, though, during this situation, what's going to happen to you?
Yeah, there's two stories and one's look a like lot a, more important.
You look like a guy who's trying to say, did you deserve it? Did you dress? What were you wearing, you know, like at the club? Like, you can't. It is a very much like, did you – seriously, but that's
– kind of a perfect storm for him.
That's the question because
– It reminds me of a Dave Chappelle bit in his comedy. He has like it's like you're – like what you're saying. It's like you're sticking up for the perpetrator.
Exactly. It's exactly
you're
that.
You're going to come off
like,
that way.
It's you like need to treat the two – you need to treat them like two separate
They're
things.
Separate, but you can't in this moment because it will sound like you're trying to say, did you deserve it? Did you do something that – prompted the person to do it and then the you're the asshole you can't they're separate but you can't do it right now so that's where you're stuck if nobody throws a look at it this way if
I'm
nobody
just thinking of Pierce that, man Pierce kissed that logo when he called it a career
well, it's such
that asshole doesn't throw a bottle we could be burying Kyrie right now
it's such a
you can't do it
That one guy, yeah.
This one guy makes it so he gets a pass for being a dink over that, and it's a bigger story and justifiably so because it's happening everywhere in the NBA.
The bottle scene was right after the logo scene. I'm seeing some comments here. People are like, "Oh, that was way before." No, he kissed the. I mean, kissed. I'm thinking of Pierce. He stomped the logo, made his way to the tunnel, and that's when the water bottle hit him.
Right.
Not deserving, though. I don't think he deserved that.
Of course not. It's a separate story, but people could have given him shit and called him petty for that.
Right, exactly.
Now you can't, nor should you, because you're missing the point. And the point was the fucking these asshole fans are tossing shit at players, and you can't do it.
And when it's been happening all week, you start to see, like, this becoming – it's a perfect storm for Kyrie because Kyrie always talks about this thing that, like, you got to look beyond basketball and like the way we view sports and all these things. And if you just look at it from that real life perspective, like how people interact with each other, the logo thing is just kind of the silly sports story and the crowd peppering people with popcorn and bottles and this and that and saying whatever they want to them is really like a longer story of interaction between, you know, largely white fans and largely black players.
It just came off as petty to me. It was like, are you gonna stomp in the logo, really, Kyrie? Oh,
that's what it was. Yeah, it was petty.
But this is the whole.
It's a silly sports story.
This is the whole Kyrie issue, right? It's the issue that was raised before. Does racism exist in sports in America, in Boston? Is there a problem? Yes. That's clear, okay? Obvious. That's a thing, okay? Was Kyrie Irving legitimately afraid of that coming to Boston? I don't know. A lot of people question whether or not that was actually the case. In this case, is Kyrie Irving an absolute diva, faux intellectual, drama queen dink? Yes.
Yes, but
does
you know
what
he does?
Does he deserve to have a water bottle thrown at him?
Yeah.
No,
He makes people show their ass, even though...
I don't want to hear... He's a jerk. He deserves it. That's freaking stupid. He's a jerk. That's over here. Right. Nobody deserves to have shit thrown at them when they're out there freaking playing basketball. Like, it's not – the two things are separate. You can hate Kyrie and think he's an asshole. You can't want people to throw shit at him when he leaves the court. It's ridiculous. Right.
But again, when we talk about Kyrie and how we evaluate who he is, the reason people hate Kyrie is what he's done within the context of basketball. Like, if you just boil Kyrie down to who he is as a person – there's really not a lot to like hate and belittle there. Like, it's just kind of like these basketball storylines. And then when he takes it to like a more societal standpoint, it's like, what are you going to say about this? Like, it's a logo on a court and like throwing a bottle at someone.
Yeah. But what does that logo represent? You know, does that piss you off, Kyrie? Does that logo piss you off? Does that, the old white guy, that does that stand for something else in your through your eyes? I mean, that's I can't help but go down that road with him.
Well, that's where it gets difficult to evaluate his intentions.
You can't evaluate. Is it an F Boston?
That question, because now, you know, after what happened, that's a moot point, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Joe.
It'll come around.
Yeah, it'll come around eventually.
A day later, someone's going to ask exactly what that was about.
I can't wait for that answer. Yeah,
but what he's going to say is,
no,
it's not going to be that though.
It's going to be like a, it's going to be like a special, like Jackie Mack's going to have it or something. It's going to be like over during the off season.
He was going to half court soon. He's going to pretend he didn't do it.
He was slamming on the brakes. He was like, oh, I was going to go, there was something on my shoe.
Something was stuck in my shoe.
I was gonna say, hit Tatum.
Yeah. Right when you were checking out for the night, or leaving the game.
You should just be the bad guy then. If you want to be the bad guy in Boston, then just own it. You know, you want to stomp on the logo.
It's all the same thing. Fans are gonna let you hear it.
You know, obviously, fans are fans. Like, they're gonna let you hear it, but you know, obviously, you want to keep it in bounds. But when you do stuff like that, you can't expect it to go unnoticed. You know, you're doing it so it doesn't go unnoticed.
That's kind of Kyrie's thing, and that this is a maddening thing about Kyrie in general, is the, oh, what, me? You know, like that, to do the thing and to put it out there and to know that it's going to make waves and to know that people are going to take it a certain way and then act like they're the ones with the problem. Like, you guys are trying to make something. And that goes back to the All-Star Game conversation. Oh, what? You guys are just... You're tripping.
Is the internet real life to you?
Right.
Is the internet real? I can't talk with my friends.
That's right.
No, you were conspiring to leave, you know?
Right.
But I live in reality. But it's like, oh, Kyrie, but in reality, you did.
This goes back to that thing, John, about when he referred to himself as an artist. Like, that's sort of, you see how that's sort of how he goes about everything.
He said it three times in those quotes we just heard, too. You know, when we're out there, the artist at a higher level, Chuck, he really believes basketball is this thing.
Chuck's reaction to that was so funny, man. Charles Barkley.
For him in particular, because that's how he carries himself.
You're just a basketball player, man. Like, come on. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We always ask, because we're used to athletes, like, putting it out there and saying it like it is and, like, just being very straightforward with things. With him, like, he just leaves stuff out for evaluation and interpretation and, like, I think that's frustrating, especially like in the news context, because like you want to have an answer for like what he does, why you want to do it, and what do you want to get out of it.
He says something intentionally ambiguous, and then he shits on you for guessing what he means. But at the same time, you can evaluate
the intent there, because a lot of times it feels like he does something to get a reaction that like shows somebody's ass, and it ends up working for him a lot of the time, because you do get the sense that he's smart. Like, he is a smart person who understands, like, the way, like, the sports environment
works. He's a smart person around not smart people. Yeah. I think he thinks he's a lot smarter than he is, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, so let's not overdo
it. He understands, like, the dynamic of sports and how it's, like, separated from, like, societal norms.
Sure.
He's so smart. Maybe. He thinks the world is flat.
He's a friggin' 16-year-old who got high for the first time and thinks, like, the thoughts he's thinking are the first.
No, but remember the whole flat
the first person in history who's ever thought these things. And we're like, we've all thought these things.
Well, remember,
like,
the flat earth, it's
not that abstract, dude, you know?
Yeah, I watched that same YouTube video, bro.
Oh, my God. Right. I'm so smart now, you know? Yeah. Like,
I thought one of the more personable things he said that year was when he was
the
like,
mushrooms
you guys have done it, right?
For you?
You ever gone on YouTube, you go down a wormhole? I'm like, yes, we've all done that. That's exactly what we were thinking.
Did he say that?
We weren't quite sure.
I kind of remember that.
People have been doing for the last year.
Exactly. We weren't quite sure if you realized that people do that. Like, that was the whole joke. Like, you know, we've all sort of gone down that conspiracy theory about a bunch of different things on YouTube. And to go out and use, you know, obviously Kyrie's platform is different, you know, than ours, but to go out and push it the way he did, I mean, that's what made us all like, wait, is this guy serious right now? Like, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
he's
an interesting guy. I mean, there's no, how many people in sports have been this invigorating to talk about? Very few.
This is a pretty good one.
Oh,
the Jared Leto of the NBA.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Jared Leto is tough duty, man.
So he's so deep. It's a, you know.
Jared Leto. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Jared Leto will tell you how smart he is for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, you can be
smart.
I'll
take Jalen. I'll take a long conversation with Jalen Brown over Kyrie in terms of talking about that kind of stuff. I don't know. That's just me, though.
Yeah. All right. Let's move off Kyrie. I think people want to get back to the game. Look, it's an impossible topic not to discuss, and we'll go over it again just so it's clear. Can't throw shit. Guy was arrested. Guy's going to be banned. He absolutely should be. So should everybody else. Right. Freaking clean it up. If any of you guys went to the game or are going to any games, Jesus Christ, don't freaking throw shit. Just go cheer and go boo and just enjoy the game.
What's wrong with a good boo? I love
fans.
A good boo.
We got fans back. It's the first 17,000 get to go in. We haven't gotten to do this in 400 and something days. Just go to the game.
But I never understand, like, game. What's the point? Like, what is the point? What, you're going to go viral? Yeah, in today's world, someone's going to identify you. Someone's going to freaking be like, wait, I know this guy. And the police are going to catch up to you. Like, I just don't see the logic behind it. What, were you about to hurt Kyrie? Like, did you really think you're going to hurt him? And if so, like, that's even worse. Like, to me,
well, the consequences need
to me, it's the
high.
Attention. Look like the guy wanted to get attention more than anything.
What is he doing it for? Don't do it.
It's stupid.
He's probably really drunk. He's just an idiot. Like, we're trying
to. In today's world, you're not going to get away with something like that. It's just not going to happen.
Joe Sway's going to film this shit and you're going to jail.
You get TMZ
I'm
going to
record
on the scene.
You. Send it to everyone, and then I'm going to do my report. Like, that's going to happen. You know? Yeah. Like, you're not slick.
Joe Sway is going to get the BPD email.
There you are.
Yeah, as soon as I get that email, I'm sending it to you guys.
Whatever.
The other thing is like, I also don't
want to do a report outside the courtroom.
I don't want it to sound like we're scolding fans. Like, this is one idiot. And, you know.
Not all fans. Just, what are you doing? This guy. Right.
Yeah, this guy's a freaking moron. But everyone watching, like, doesn't need to be told not to throw shit. Like, I think everyone, I would hope, is, you know, mature enough to be able to attend a sporting event and treat human beings like human beings.
Yeah, but we're seeing this week that's not the case. And it's like, why? That's what we're trying to figure out, the mindset behind that.
Jason Tatum, 18,000 people, just to go what you're saying, 18,000 people in the building. I guess every arena there are a few bad seeds. I don't want to overshadow the rest of the fans who came and supported us tonight. Exactly. Obviously, there's no place for this. So, again, whatever. I mean, we know it. You know it.
The consequence is going to be ramped up. I mean, usually it's just a ban for life, which is like, how can they even enforce
that? No, they're
that?
Right. Harden said that tonight. Somebody said that tonight. That's not enough.
No, there's going to be prosecution, as there should be. And Trae Young had the choice to charge the fan who spit on him and declined to, probably just because of the notion that he'd be coming down too hard on a guy over something minor. But at the end of the day, if you want this to stop, there's going to be Georgia serious law. Consequences.
I want to throw something else out, okay? Because this pisses me off a lot. Like, you're from Boston. You're a Celtics fan. Okay, and you understand everything that's been said and all of the heat that the city is getting, and a lot of it is justified, okay? And you're going to go there and think that, what, this is a good idea?
That's what I was saying earlier. How do you not
how
hear
in the
everything
world,
that's going on?
What do you get out of it? And do you realize the long-term consequences and the shit that you're causing by doing stuff like this? Each individual who does this, it's bigger than you, Dick. Like,
yeah,
you're
really
causing
is.
Massive ripples here and doing a bunch of – like. Doing a ton of harm, like, to the city, to you, to the franchise, to everything. If you're a Celtics fan from Boston and you take pride in either of those things, doing that literally is a reason why you might never get someone to come play here again. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, like, wake up, man.
That's a great point, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, wake up, you idiot. That's the type of shit that goes viral, and everyone will be like, I'm never going to that friggin' city to play, ever. Right.
You think other NBA players are looking at that video?
Thanks a lot, bro.
You think other NBA players are looking at that video and being like, man, I can't believe Kyrie. You know, that's a storied franchise over there. I can't believe he stepped on that logo. No, they're like, oh, man, maybe he was right. You know, how bad is Boston?
No, again,
how much better are those fans if they just feel like they can just chuck things at people just because they're upset with the outcome of the game?
Anyway, sorry. People here kind of want us to move on and talk about the game again. It's hard to skip a – first of all, the game's a friggin' blowout and the series is over.
Yeah.
Done. We're done talking about the game.
What do you want to say? KD, Irving, and Harden are great.
Come on, Celtics, bring it back.
We've been talking about the game for an hour. Like, there's only so much to say.
Come on, Celtics. Bring the
well, let's,
series back to
what's
to
come in
let's
this series? Is this it now? Is this just how it's going to go? Or is there another chance now in game five to maybe get a slow performance when it's Nets in?
Kemba's
probably not coming back.
They won their game.
Yeah, we did Kemba. Look, we did Kemba, and we did, we did Fournier a little bit. And we talked about the game, and, you know, like I said, you know, Bobby was slightly encouraged. Jimmy still thinks we got punked. I think we'll take it to locker room and continue on there probably pretty soon. And we'll hear from you guys. We've probably done enough talking here. So
locker room. Yeah, we'll take some. Joe Sway and I will take some questions here. We'll do that.
Then. Yeah, I want to keep it clean, please. Okay, we're going to go to locker room. We hear what your thoughts about the game. If you have something on Kyrie stuff, you know, or in the fans and the situation here, that's obviously been a huge problem for the NBA, for sports, for Boston, for everything. Obviously, we can talk about that as well. Talking about Kemba, big problems and a big concern. And we only spent a teeny bit of time on it, but I thought that sucked. Everyone thinks you're hotboxing, Bobby.
Really?
Yeah. The light makes it look like you've just – there's a bong hit's been settling at about
– I think it's –
Oh, it does look like that, yeah.
Yeah. That the bong smoke just kind of sat there, and it never moved.
Dense. You know? Yeah, I'm in a hot location here, let's just say.
Shout out for Zanis for using that instead of – what's the other one? Fishbowl. There's a big debate about that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't heard
some
that
Some people
debate.
Say fishbowl. Some people say hotbox. Hotbox is the more popular.
I used to say hotbox. Not anymore.
People would be surprised.
Sure. Yeah, Jimmy, no, no, Jimmy's back. Word.
Dude, I'm struggling.
Jimmy, we missed you.
I'm struggling a little bit today, boys. Weekend in Nantucket.
Guys, Tuesday could be the last.
About that in locker room.
Tuesday could be the last show of the season.
No, the last.
It'll be the last regular season show.
Post-game show.
Playoff show.
This could have been drunk Jimmy tonight.
This is hungover Jimmy is what this is.
We could have, if Jimmy hopped on Friday at any point in time, you would have really seen Jimmy.
Oh, God. I actually thought about it because they won. I was like, I should totally just call in.
I thought you were going to come right, and I wasn't going to let you in.
No, I thought better of it. Yeah, I thought twice.
And the angel popped up on Jimmy's
I don't want to get canceled. So
a fan in Boston has been arrested and banned for life already. And again, is that enough? We'll see. We'll see what the charges are.
Yeah, there's no. What is it? The holiday tomorrow. So if I'm not mistaken, that guy's sticking around. He's going to be locked up until Tuesday. Huh? isn't that how it works or no?
We're not working. What a They're not gig, working man. Monday.
Put the bail way up just to. Just
he can't see the judge tomorrow, so he's got to wait till Tuesday.
You're right, yeah.
What a dink.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the clink.
Yeah, seriously.
Hope it was worth it.
For real.
Oh, jeez.
Wonder what that first phone call sounded like, or the one phone call then.
Yeah, it's messy out there. But, again, yeah, man. It's too bad.
You could feel it, too.
It's too bad. We made
some stuff in the beginning.
We made it through two entire games after that good discussion there, and maybe Boston stepping up to the plate in terms of behavior there in the crowd. And then as everybody's exiting the floor at the last final second, it happened, which is just brutal. But again, people got to rethink this stuff, how we act in the crowd and how we interact with athletes. And again, that's been a story for a long time. Kyrie's right. Like Malice at the Palace. Like Max and Bob McAdoo talking about what used to happen to them at games. Like it's just, it's ingrained in sports, especially basketball, like this closeness between the fans and the players and the notion that you can just kind of do anything when you want to get in there. It's something we have to rethink.
People have been throwing stuff on the field at baseball games for a long friggin' time too, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, the problem with the NBA is how friggin' close people are. They're right on top of you, you know?
Yeah, it's the only sport that's like that.
It's the only sport that's like that. They have access to you, you know? Right. Like hockey, you've got boards, you know? Like obviously there's some barriers in baseball. Right. It's a little further back. They are friggin'
soccer,
on top of you.
In soccer, that's like 15 feet between the crowd.
Yeah, good luck trying to do anything right. The football stadium, you're way in the back. And again,
people
you get shit in the end zone.
You see them get tackled. They don't even get close before they, you know, maybe one lucky guy will get just onto the field and then someone will tackle them. Yeah.
This is dangerous because they're right on top of you. The links are in the chat, so we're going to go to locker room now and hear whatever you want. Jimmy, you coming?
I'm going to swing by, yeah.
All right, let's do it. Jimmy, you and me will head now and we'll talk. So, guys, jump on in there.
All right, we'll see y'all soon.
Let me see what we got. Bobby, you got control?
Yes, I'm in full control.
Full control.
Watching,
all right.
Thank
I'm going to change the graphic here for you, and I am out of here as
what
well.
We got Tuesday?
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Tuesday? Game 4 is Tuesday. Game 5 is Tuesday.
Game 5 is Tuesday. Let's go back to Brooklyn.
All right. Later, guys.
Oh, man.
All right. So,
Bobby, you've been out? Got a little sun. Or is it just me?
Yeah, no, I'm on a little Memorial Day trip right now, down south, and
Where the hell did you get sun around here? I was gonna say,
gotcha. We got some steaminess in the room today. I had a scary drive today. This weather down here in the south is insane. It just turns in an instant. But good trip, good sun, good weekend. Good overall, I've enjoyed the basketball this weekend.
Yeah, man, it was a good for the NBA.
Good atmosphere in there. Those two games.
You got the sweep from the Bucks, man. I still love Philly, but.
Oh yeah, so you want to do a little around the league stuff, around the East especially. Milwaukee, Milwaukee's sweeping.
Tough. Yeah, man.
Miami. Yeah, after that rough series last year where things got funky in the bubble and Hero went off and Robinson went on his ride and Bam and Jimmy had that connection and just everything went wrong on the Milwaukee side. The Drew Holiday upgrade and all the other additions that they've made to that team, Bobby Portis and others, it really have them looking like a powerhouse right now. And now they are just waiting, sitting pretty for the Nets, who might have to go one more game, two more games. Who knows? But as I've said about Brooklyn, their defense worries me. And again tonight, getting lit up for 126. Can they just outscore everybody every single game? I don't think that's certain as you start to go against some better teams, especially Milwaukee next.
I just think it's going to be, because that's the team when we talk about Philly too. But, it's going to be interesting because, you can't overlook Steve Nash and where he comes from and his background and how I think he believes that. He comes from the school of D'Antoni where, he's not – I don't want to say that he doesn't believe in defense, but he thinks that if you're – if you have the weapons to do so, that you can outscore another team. And obviously the Brooklyn Nets do have that. But it's going to be interesting because with the Milwaukee Bucks, like how good is this team when the three-pointers aren't falling? Obviously in that first-round matchup against the Miami Heat, that was a big part of their offense. Giannis and having Drew Holiday obviously is a big part of that. They didn't have him last year. So I think that does give them an edge. But I don't know. I still like the Nets in that matchup, but it's going to be interesting. And then you got to see that you got the Sixers was most likely going to be waiting for them in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to see Philly and Brooklyn. I'm still holding on to that prediction.
I think no matter who wins that Milwaukee-Brooklyn series, it's going to be such a grind. Similar to how Toronto-Boston was last year on the other side of the second round. The seven games, the overtime games, the grueling matchups. The fact that Kevin Durant will probably have to guard Giannis in there, that could end Brooklyn or that could completely exhaust Brooklyn. And all of a sudden, Philly, I like what the Hawks are doing right now. I think Philly could clean up the Hawks fairly quickly just with their defense and intensity and their length on the wings and their switchability and all that stuff. So, again, this is why I felt like that one seed was so important. Philly's going to blow through the Wizards. Philly's probably going to blow through the Hawks. And they're just going to be waiting there for an exhausted team in the East Finals. Like, I'm ready to say that the 76ers are going to be in the NBA Finals this year. I think they have the defense. I think they have the star.
I bet you like the Bucks. No, you did like Philly. Yeah, I think you do. Yeah.
No, with that one seed.
I mean, the Bucks. Excuse me. I thought you still like the Nets, though, to go to the Finals, right?
I think they'll get through the Bucks. Like, very in a very close series just because of the firepower that they have. But I think once they run into a really good defense in Philly, home court in Philly, a center that they really can't match up with in Embiid, that series has worried me for the Nets for a little while now. And, one team is the best defensive team in basketball, I think, in Philly, and one I'm not even sure can defend at all in Brooklyn. So Friday in particular made me very concerned about the Nets in the long run here. Now you get the Jeff Green injury and other things going on too. You still feel good about them getting to the finals?
I do. I do, man. As long as these three are putting on 100 points. If this was not a series format, I'd be like, you can beat this team on a given night. Obviously, Celtics proved that a couple nights ago. But in the best of seven series, I just think it's going to be tough. I think Philly's defense is what gives them a significant edge. Obviously, Embiid, MVP Embiid, whether he gets it or not, he's certainly a candidate this year. He's been balling out. And then you got the shooters. I mean, there's just so, like, you have the depth, and I just think they're so dynamic in their offense. And, of course, that defense can buckle down and hold this team to under 120. I guess it's the round. I don't know exactly what it is, the magic number for this team. But either way, I just think Philadelphia is a team that can really shut this team down, or at least in spurts, or when it matters the most, and has enough offensive firepower to counteract those three, the Nets, Brooklyn's big three.
So that's basically what's going on in the East here. Three team
Dogs
race.
Got these guys motivated, man. I anticipated it for the other guys, for the stars, the ones that truly matter. But I think he's got everyone on the same page, you know, from 1 through 9, you know, the rotation.
I'm interested in seeing the West too. I mean, we got the Mavs and Clippers playing right now. That series got thrown for a loop very early. Clippers barely saved themselves in that game 3. They went down big early in that one. I think it was 30-8 early in that one, or 12 rather.
Yeah.
They came back. George and Kawhi played brilliant basketball. Luka was throwing it back. Like these,
and George,
that was George the best playoff game. Yeah.
He went off in the first half. Like that's the sort of like, you know, I'm pretty critical with him just because I feel like he had a lot to prove this year. And I don't know whether it's just, he proved that he is who he is, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I just felt like he thought that he could be a bit of a playmaker and take on a lot of these responsibilities that Doc may have been saying 2 years ago that he's just not that guy. So I think it made Doc look like it was like he was right in the sense of he tried to take on too much and then had to the team eventually did the right thing and got someone like Rondo to help facilitate and take that on. And obviously it took off a whole lot of workload, or at least a good amount of that workload for Paul George.
I don't know why they avoided the Clippers the way they did for the Mavs. The Mavs are really tough. Like, insane, the Mavs. Luka is just insane.
Yeah.
The step backs, the shots in the lane, the creation ability from him. He was absolutely brilliant in that game 3, but he had to go 1-2, and that's ultimately why they lost there. That series is going to go 7, and again, after that much of a grind, remember these two teams went 7 last year, and then ultimately the Clippers fell apart in round 2. I think it's so underrated in the playoffs how those long, grueling series, when you run into another team that's going to be relatively fresh, like I think they're going to play the Jazz next, right? So
yeah.
The Jazz are going to get through the Grizzlies in 5 here probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how much People further the Clippers worried. Can get. You know what People I think is going to end up happening in the West, Joe Slade, that's surprising? Sherrod actually threw this out first. You might see a team like the Jazz end up winning the West just because of their path. And, you know, the Lakers are banged up. The Clippers don't look fully loaded and prep for a big run. So you might see that Jazz, or who knows, maybe even the Suns get through if they can get by the Lakers here.
That's my pick. I like the Suns. But, yeah, the Jazz could do it.
You think the Suns get the Lakers here?
That was my prediction from the beginning, and I'm going to stick with it. I just don't know how much Chris Paul has left in him. And I would hate to see – a series play out, whether it's game 7 or game 6, a crucial series where he's ruled out or he has to leave the game in the second or third quarter. Unfortunately, that still might happen, but
they're a great
team. He's going to fight. Exactly. They're such a great team, man. He's going to fight to the end. But, you know, those 12 to 10 foot jumpers that he's been draining all season long, I mean, he has to continue at that rate. What a humongous win for these guys to tie up that series. I mean, it's all a new series, you know, so as they say, year after year, whenever a team comes back from an 0-2 deficit just to tie it up. I mean, it's a brand new series. So I like their chances. But again, Chris Paul, how much you get from him is going to ultimately, you know, decide it.
And now Davis's health is in flux as well. So that's another question for the Lakers. It's just injury after injury for them. I know KCP got banged up in the game 3. And now you have an even series there with Denver, Portland as well. The West just feels so wide open, like 1-6. And that is just a great thing for this league, I'd say. Like, you have such an open postseason field right here. And who knows? You might be right. The Nets' big three might just be the fact that it's the only big three in basketball right now in terms of superstars. That might get them by pretty much anybody at this point. And the West might be so grueling that when they get there, it might be a little bit of a easier ride for them to get through. But we have to see them face real adversity first. And right now, I think the Celtics have showed them – some mild punches, and it's actually ended up being a fairly competitive series because of that. It's 3-1, but ultimately I think the Celtics have won quite a few quarters here. So who knows? There could be a game 6 here. I'll give them a shot. You think this is over on Tuesday?
Yeah, probably. I know I said that earlier. It's more of a wishful thinking. I'm still waiting for the Kemba game, you know?
Yeah. It's not happening.
It's not happening. I mean, I'm still, call me crazy, but I still think we would have gotten that tonight if he's healthy. I don't know if that means that they win it, but it would have really put them in a good position to. And again, what I mean by a Kemba game is 21, 22. I'm not saying he's going to come out here and drop 40. I just think he had that in him. But injuries, like you say, man, it's been happening all across the league. And, you know, obviously he's been dealing with it all year long for the Celtics.
All right, so that is our show. We will be back on Tuesday, as promised. Brooklyn back in New York City again for this game, Celtics Nets game 5. Because of the great win on Friday, and again, credit to Jason Tatum, who I just thought 90 points in game even 3, in game one. 4. Yeah, 90 impressive. Between these two. He reached a new level this year that I think is worthy of some admiration through tough circumstances here, playing with Grant and Pritchard and all these guys now with two of his stars out. And his center as well. He's basically alone out there doing all that. So,
Bobby, he dropped 50 on Durant. He's never going to forget that.
I think good that's fight. A huge, that's a real huge, good fight.
Momentum builder for his career, if you will, so to speak.
You know? All right. So, yeah, we'll talk about over on Locker Room. What's it mean for him? Is the Heat dialed down on Brad a little bit? We haven't talked a lot about Brad, but I'm sure people will be talking about it again here. Is it higher or lower after the series, seeing how they were able to compete here and imagining how it would look when it was healthy? And then, of course, we'll talk about the team as well, the roster with Ainge. We always do over there in Locker Room. So come chat with us over there. John and Jimmy are already rolling, so you can jump right in the room. And Joe Sway and I will be there in just a minute. And we'll see you all back here on Tuesday. I think this is the first game of the series where all five of us are going to be on the show. So ton to talk about. If this is the end of the season, there's quite a few questions going into this offseason, and finally a long offseason ahead for this group. Unless Tatum goes to the Olympics, Joe Sway, then it's just going to keep rolling. So,
yeah, that's true.
For Bobby Manning, Joe Sway, Pavone, John Zanis, and Jimmy Toscano, this is the Celtics postgame show, and we'll see you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday, guys.